Welcome to Brunch with the Buds, where best friends dish on what's good. Brought to you by KentuckyTasteBuds.com. That's KYTasteBuds.com. Now, here are the Kentucky Taste Buds, Tamara and Lee.
Hey guys, welcome to Brunch with the Buds, where two best friends talk about everything good in Kentucky, from food, fashion, events, and people. My name is Lee Roach, and I'm here with my gorgeous best friend, Tamara Snyder. How are you, Tamara?
I'm great.
So your son, you celebrated a birthday today. It's not technically his birthday.
Right.
It's actually the day before my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
But did y'all have a nice celebration?
Yeah, it's been a hectic day.
Yeah.
We've had a hectic weekend.
We have. We've been running around like
back
chickens
to
with
back. Events.
Yeah. But it's all been fun.
All fun.
I was going to say we've been running around like chickens with our head cut off, but really like our pig's head cut off.
Oh.
Because we went to the bacon festival yesterday.
We did. I've had more comments about me and that pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, why did they have a pig at a bacon festival?
Yeah, I know. And I had the same question.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I was glad they didn't say, that's not Lee and you, is it?
Oh, but
I have put on a few pounds.
So. Oh, come on now. It was the cutest little pig. I've never held a pig
before. It really
before.
Was cute.
Yeah.
And then we also have in the house with us, thank goodness, yes, our prepared producer, Curtis Cypress. How are you, Curtis?
I'm good. We're all back together.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time.
We missed you terribly.
I miss you all both.
Yeah.
So we have to just sidebar for a second and say for everyone who may have caught our show last week, it was a fantastic show outside of the fact that Tamara and I were in charge of its audio, and we failed to do a good job there. But we don't want to deter anybody from going back and listening, because we had Rio Hatfield and Ron McCoy, descendants of the Hatfield and McCoys, and it was one of my favorite interviews.
It was a great interview.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
guys were fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm sorry the quality was poor on that.
Yes.
So welcome back, Curtis.
Yeah. I'm back.
Job we appreciate
you.
We
yeah,
appreciate
you.
You so much. That's right.
Okay, well, today is going to be another great show. We're so excited about this. And again, another reason we need good audio. And we're calling today's show, we're going to talk about everything from the Opera House to the White House.
Dun, dun, dun.
From the highs and lows.
Yes.
Yes. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tamara to introduce our guest.
Yes. Well, we are thrilled to have another Curtis in the house today. We have Curtis Streetman. He is voice professor, director of opera at Eastern Kentucky University, and you have all kinds of accolades and lots of initials behind your name, and you are originally from Manhattan, and we are just thrilled to have you in our neck of the woods today. So
we're
going to
talk about some of those accolades during the show.
That's right.
There are too many to list. It's like two pages long.
Yes. 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 So welcome, Curtis.
Thank you so much, Brunch team. It's great to be here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's just such a great voice already off the bat.
So if you haven't guessed, his voice is what he's here to talk about today. He is an opera virtuoso. Is that a stretch or?
I won't argue with that.
Yeah. See?
I will not argue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
opera
very kind to
virtuoso.
Say.
And he's here to talk about this special show that they're having this coming Friday. And it's going to be at the Lyric Theater at 7:30. And it's called German Georges of Great Britain. So it's going to be a fantastic show. We're going to hear all about that. But first, let's just start with some of your background. Like I said, you're from Manhattan, but tell us a little bit more about your background.
Okay, so basically, I got into music as a young child because actually I'm half deaf.
Really?
And the way that I learned how to speak was by listening to a lot of music when I was about 3 years old, because I wasn't speaking.
Wow.
So it was the early days of what we now refer to as music therapy, and they played reel to reel for the young people. That's how we used to watch videos, even before VHS.
Yeah.
But reel to reels of TV commercials with jingles. And although I couldn't speak, the doctors found out that I could mimic the rhythms and the pitches perfectly at an uncommon level. So they were like, okay, forget the speaking. Let's get this kid singing. So my folks found a performing arts school in New York City for young children, and I ended up attending. And it's really extremely fortunate, because it's the only thing that I have any proclivity for is music.
Wow.
So it was just the right, the stars aligned when I was young, and it's the only thing I've ever really been involved with professionally. And I couldn't count myself very lucky to have found that at an early age.
Now, is your family, do they have the talent? Did you inherit it from your family members?
My mom was a concert pianist, and my father was a Methodist minister, and he was a music fan, and he always sent her roses after he heard her play the first time. And she chose not to be annoyed and to find it flattering, and that's why I'm here. So
yeah. Oh, that's
good on dad, right?
Yeah, this is a question I've always thought about. I don't know why. I have some silly questions sometimes. But when you recognize at an early age, like you're probably like a child prodigy, I'm assuming. You just have this very innate a talent that you were just born with. Now, do you sing at 3 or 4 years old like an opera singer? Or do you have just a natural voice that then develops into an opera singer?
Okay, so you do not sing quite like an opera singer. When you're young, you don't have quite such a resonant or vibrato-laden sound. That can come. The Vienna choir boys, for instance, are trained to manufacture that sound. You know, so that comes in time. But what you can have at that age is a great understanding of musical line, a great understanding of how to interpret a story and how to convey it. And I mean this in the very best way, but how to manipulate an audience, mm-hmm. which is really the key to it all. And that there's no limit on how old or young you can be to sort of incorporate that into your bag of tricks.
Yeah. Wow. So what is the description? How do you describe opera for someone who knows nothing about music?
Well, first the definition. And the Italian definition of opera means work. And what they mean is artistic work. So it culminates singing, composition, orchestral music, literature, drama, all into one. So it's a culmination of all of the different works of all the artistic disciplines that we have, painting the scenery, things like that. So it means work, not in the sense that, oh, it's time to go to work, you know, but we're combining the best artistic work from all the disciplines together. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so magical. It was their version of the cinema. They didn't have that, but right. they had, you know, these people getting up and doing this stuff,
yeah.
live action, and it captivated their imagination.
Mm-hmm. So. Interesting.
Yeah, because I know for a lot of us who don't have a musical background, don't know anything really about opera, maybe your only exposure to opera was watching Bugs Bunny when they did the right. Barber of Seville.
Which is great fun, by the way. And yeah. It cracks me up, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, so that was my first exposure to it. Although Lee and I both were in the band. I grew up playing piano, flute, French horn, all that kind of stuff. So and she played clarinet. And so we have this musical background. And if not for that, we probably wouldn't know anything about.
Right. And you're much more musically inclined than I am.
Classical music and right. opera and
Did
things like
Mighty
that.
Did you see Mighty Mouse at all when you were little?
Yes.
He sings opera too.
Right. Yes.
It's wonderful.
Excellent. That's right. Excellent. So I think, and this is what we're all about at Kentucky Taste Buds, is getting people to try things that they have never tried before, or get out of their ruts and do something they've never done before, go somewhere they've never done before. So I love the fact that a lot of people have never had any kind of exposure to music in this manner, but then to say, hey, well, here's a perfect opportunity to go out and have a magical evening. And if you've never been transformed by the power of music, I can't think of a better time to do it than at this show that you have coming up on Friday. But
so, yeah, and it makes me think, because I don't want to jump too far ahead. So when you were training when you were younger, did you always go to a performing arts school? And were you training specifically for opera, or did you do all types of training?
All types of training for music. In terms of music theory, we had to take piano, which was not my favorite thing, you know, sorry, Mom.
Moms all over the world hate to hear that.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially his.
Yeah.
Right, especially mine. Yeah. You know, so all sorts of artistic training. We had to do a drawing or a painting every day.
Wow.
You know, so it was an immersive artistic education. By the time high school came, since my school was only for little boys, the guy who, our headmaster, who was sort of part of his unofficial duty, was to get us in these great high schools, right? And the first thing he says, what do you want to do for school? And high school, I said, please put me somewhere where there are girls. So the high school was not particularly, specifically, you know, an arts high school. It had an abundance of a great arts education, but it was a regular high school, and I had a great time there. But then in college, I went up to the Eastman School of Music in upstate New York, which was such a wonderful culmination of education. I mean, the first day, the dean sat us down and he said, okay, look around. You are all what I call regional treasures, which means you come from Canton, Ohio. You come, you know, from Pittsburgh. You come from blah, 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 blah. And he was like, that doesn't matter now. He says, now there are people who are better than you, who you are going to learn from. There are people who are not as good as you, who you are expected to teach what you know so that you are passing it on, and you're in this together.
Mm, wow.
And I'm still in touch with all those young students. We're
wow.
not so young anymore, but we're, you know, mm-hmm. especially with Facebook and everything, we could all reunite, but we still nurture each other's artistic growth to this day, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, that's probably the only place that I feel nostalgic about, the Eastman School of Music. You walk into that great hall, which is marble, where they do little recitals right there in the hall for people to come in off the street and listen to.
Wow.
It's amazing. And here's just a thought. How cool would it be if Lexington had something like that?
Right.
Right here right. in downtown, right?
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And we have a friend of ours. She lives up in Connecticut, and she has a daughter who's a senior, and she's musically gifted, and now she's going through the process of looking at several different colleges and auditioning, and I had no idea the process was so gruesome.
Yeah.
And the process, I mean, from the application to the audition tapes to the expense.
Yeah.
So did you go through all of that? And do you have any advice for students who are trying to go that route?
So my advice would be anybody who wants to study music at the collegiate level as a major, go to the website of the Juilliard School. And not so much that you're necessarily going to apply there or want to study there, which would be great if you did.
Sure.
But those are pretty much the standard, what do I have to do to get in? Maybe a little more stringent than some of the other schools, but if you're prepared to that level, everything else will be a cakewalk. And for instance, if I am listening to an audition at EKU, Colonels, yes, and please come and audition for us. We'd love to hear you. It's not so much about the requirements. We have had somebody who was so nervous last year that she couldn't get through it, and I stopped the audition and I said, just breathe. And sing My Country 'Tis of Thee. I don't care. I just want to hear the voice, and I want to hear your musicality. I want to hear if you have that special something. You know, but that's not every school is going to do that.
Right.
But the true educator, I think, probably would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're human. We love, young and passionate artistry. That's what we want. We want to nurture that. And anybody who has any questions of this, find me at EKU. I'm on the website, right? And I'll help you. I have a passion for finding young talent and developing that talent.
And that's
very
what you've
cool.
been doing, and it's a relatively new program. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. You're talking about Artsbridge or EKU?
EKU,
yes. I am now in my second year as artistic director of the Opera Theater, and we are working with musical theater, the drama, and we had a great program recently that was actually Disney movie songs. But then every Disney music song had to have a real genuine opera song that was based on the same theme.
Oh, wow.
You know, so with the relationship between movie cinematic theater mm-hmm. and older opera.
Wow.
And we're working on touring that. It's a small show. It's a small forces, which makes it more intimate. And I
right.
think probably really accessible to the high school students. So we're going out to the high schools. And
oh, I think that'd be hugely yeah. successful. Mm-hmm.
It's just so
Absolutely.
Much fun.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun to see the young students make that connection
yeah.
that there doesn't necessarily have to be this big distinction between the things they see in the cinema
mm-hmm.
and what would go on the operatic stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the operatic portion, for the legitimate singing portion of this German George's program, I mean, I'm going to be in jeans and a leather jacket. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not your
cool.
grandparents' opera where I'm decked down in a tailcoat.
Right.
You know, I'll save that for the Philharmonic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be an intimate experience, you know, that draws people in and makes them even more curious so that we can sucker them in to come back.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm
Very
sure they
cool.
will. I'm
yeah.
sure they will.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about your background and everything, and I really want to get to this clip that we're going to play of you singing. So set us up here. What are we going to be listening to?
The name of this song is Rise, Mighty Monarch, and Ascend the Throne.
Wow.
And the reason this is included in the program, this is what Handel would have heard when he first arrived in the city of London in 1714. This is called a restoration song. And literally the king, King Charles II, loved this song so much because it was such an assertion, a massive assertion of the restored monarchy, the power. He literally had the chamber musicians come to his bedroom every morning and play this as his alarm clock. He woke up to this song for years. It originally was in a play that was an allegory for the restored monarchy. Before the restoration, during the Cromwellian period, Cromwell actually had church organs smashed and outlawed theater and musical performances. So when his son had to sort of abdicate power and Charles II came back, Charles had been in France where opera was thriving, and he wanted England to have that. So suddenly there was this liberal, fun atmosphere of restored monarchy and restored enthusiasm for the arts. And I think that that's what this piece of music encapsulates.
Oh, boy. Okay. We can't wait to listen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a listen.
Let's play it.
Chills.
I know,
it gives
so
me chills.
Powerful.
Is it weird to sit here and watch us listen to you sing? Does that feel, or are you used to being on stage and having people watch you?
They're usually not as close as
the
three of you are.
Eyeballs on you.
You are so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you go to college and then just start landing jobs? And tell us about some of those jobs.
Okay, so this particular type of music is called Baroque music, and I accidentally found myself in college being hired to sing this type of music just for being in the right place at the right time and, more importantly, being prepared. There was a famous group of musicians that specialized in this type of music that came to perform at our school, and one of my teachers, who kind of had an ear and an eye out for what I could do, said, learn this piece of music. I didn't know why. And he set this up without me knowing. He told them about me. And when they had a free 30 minutes, they said, your teacher's been talking about you. We want to hear you. And it's just supposed to be a extra teaching session and everything. But what had happened was the gentleman in the group, wonderful singer, amazing kind of idol of mine named David Thomas, had that very day gotten a conflict with an important job in south of England. And I'm 19, never really sung a real professional gig, except for when I was a little choir boy, right? And suddenly he just looked at me and he said, can you help me out? Can you help me out? Right? Yes. And he said, good, make sure you save these dates. And so suddenly I'm singing Baroque International Opera at the age of 19, not really knowing what I'm doing, but I'm surrounded by such quality that, and I'm a quick study, that I just kept my ears as open, and I was a sponge.
Yeah.
Right. And it all started then, and then basically, through the grace of the fates or whatever, I've been working ever since.
Wow.
So the moral is to be prepared. And, you know, thank the stars for that teacher of mine, whose name is Ken Merrill. He teaches at Juilliard. And he really looks out for his students. I mean, he didn't really envision that suddenly I'd be singing internationally, but it was, more than that, it was that I could learn something.
Right.
From these wonderful people who happen to be traveling around.
Yeah.
It's just everything else by fluke fell into place.
Right.
Right. But I was ready to have open ears and enthusiasm for what they had to say. And that's what I would say to any of my students or any young student who wanted to go into music. Just be enthusiastic about the learning process. Right. And then everything should really fall into place.
Yeah. And not be afraid. Because you could have been like, oh, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. You know, I need more training or whatever. And you took that leap.
And the other thing is to enjoy the people that the fates put in your path.
Right.
Really enjoy. I mean, these were all English people. These English people, I hadn't spent a lot of time with English people as a young person, you know, and just enjoy who they are. Mm-hmm. And that will make you even more susceptible to learn what they want to give you in terms of, you know, an example.
Right. So when you say you've sang internationally, and you have, we saw the information the on that. What are some of the most favorable memories of places you've been, some of your favorite destinations, performances?
Okay, so probably the most exotic would be Hong Kong. And wow. I was a young person. I was 22 when I first sang there, and that was before Hong Kong had changed back over to Chinese control. I went back after, and it's incredibly different. And, you know, they're going through some turmoil now, you know, with civil unrest. And it's tricky because, you know, we want everybody to be safe, and we love our open values and everything like that. But they must be able to self-determine at the same time. So it's kind of, I have very mixed feelings about what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. That was a great place to be both times. Probably my sort of like where I felt, gosh, you know, maybe I'll make it as a career. Because when I sang at the Salzburg Festival as a not quite so young, but somebody had fallen and broken his leg. And so it was one of these things where I had to be a quick study again. And when you're singing at Salzburg, it really is like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's a city of Mozart. Mozart was born there. Mm-hmm. My hotel literally looked into the room where Mozart was born right across the street.
Oh, my goodness. Right?
So it's the city of Mozart, beautiful opera. You get out of a restaurant, and, you know, that first time I had such a tiny little role, but they still knew. They went on and found my picture, had special, you know, the silver pens that you can write on the photo. They did that for even, like, the smallest little role, which was mine.
Aww.
They just supported it, like some of us might support football.
You're right. Right.
Packers fans included. So they really, it's a sport for them. And
yes.
To be able to participate in that grand history of opera. I mean, Mozart was born there.
Yeah,
it was just, I'll
just
never forget
fabulous.
It. And like the day after my premiere in the big city, you know, market, like sipping espresso, I felt like, you know, okay, this is
I've
really
arrived.
Good.
That's what I would feel.
I felt like it. I haven't always felt like that since then, but
yes, you know, but in
that
moment.
That was a great moment.
Yes.
So who are some of the greatest that you've sang with?
Okay, so we recently lost one that I sang with, and she was actually a member of my church in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Her name is Jessie Norman, and she passed away a few weeks ago. Incredibly generous person. Some say the greatest voice of the 20th century.
Wow.
I'm not going to argue, you know, I'm not going to argue against that. Mm-hmm. Miss Norman was amazing and generous with her time and talent and just loved singing for people. And even if she, would have been a terrible person, you would still want to buy these recordings. I mean, they're just amazing. But she was a sweetie, you know.
Yeah. Right.
So she was great. When I was a child, I met and sang with Pavarotti.
Oh, God, that's just crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, there's a lot. There's just a lot of people who've just been going on and on and on. Pavarotti was definitely a highlight.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So is EKU what brought you to Kentucky?
It is.
So you're teaching there, being a professor there?
That's right.
Okay. And then tell us about the Arts Bridge.
Oh, Arts Bridge is so exciting. It's a brand new nonprofit that we've started, and we have a lot of sort of checklists of what we wish to do, and we don't have a particular time agenda to get any of this done. If we make progress every season and getting closer to what the ideal would be, then that's great. So first and foremost, we want to be a presenter of quality musical events that are accessible to the public. Serious quality, incredible works in and of themselves, and we want to bring feature the great quality artists that are right here in Kentucky and eventually market these productions and things to go outside of Kentucky. So it's kind of like a celebration of Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, we love
we're
that.
All about
yeah,
that.
We're all about it.
Exactly. So this first performance, we're all local musicians, eventually we want to have a goal of actually giving Lexington a professional opera company.
Oh,
this
wow.
is so amazing.
Because there isn't one now. We have Everett at UK who's advising me, and I'm talking to him all the time, and he gives a great gift to the city with his education at UK, but and also the productions that he brings. But they don't really bring in, you know, world-class artists from around the world. That's not his agenda. We want to do that. And Everett is advising me every step of the way to do anything operatic without his input would be foolish.
Yes,
I think,
right.
Because he's so centered and good at what he does.
Yeah.
And the generous spirit as well.
Yeah.
So we've got him. We have a lot of good advisors. So we want to also have a teaching platform where we seek the young talent and nurture it and prepare them for careers in the arts if they want it, or just the great lessons that people who study the arts take to other aspects of their professional lives, such as organization, goal processing, goal commitment to achieving goals. The arts actually increase brain mass, you know, whether you're a professional singer or whatever. You spend some time singing or playing an instrument. When you're a young person, your brain grows, and we are all about that.
Yes.
So we want to perform, we want to teach, we want to record, we want an opera company. And our first performance is this Friday, the 8th of November at 7:30 at The Lyric, and we're so looking forward, you know, to being with the people of Lexington for that event.
Yeah, and what a great venue.
It's beautiful.
The Lyric is fantastic. We were there for the Lexi Awards in January. We're looking forward to going back to the Lexi Awards in next January. So I think that's going to be a great venue for you all. We're super excited for you. How do people get tickets?
So the best thing to do would be to go to the Lyric Theater of Lexington, their website, or to give them a call.
Okay.
And tickets are available. It's open seating at a $15 price.
That's so reasonable.
Yeah.
So reasonable.
Yeah. Well, again, we want accessibility.
Right.
It's just about sort of sharing and celebrating artistry that's here in Kentucky.
We just love that you're elevating this town, and that's bringing culture that we don't have a lot of in that arena. So we're very excited to have you come in.
And Lexington, you know, was Athens of the West when it was first settled. It was called the Athens of the West because of all the people. I won't digress on my history.
She's a history buff.
But anyway, we've always had a fine appreciation for the arts here in our city. But we definitely need this opera aspect.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just storytelling at its finest. So kudos to you for doing that. Mm. And
how can people follow you in Artsbridge and everything
so
that's going on?
Yeah, we have Instagram. There's Artsbridge on Instagram. There's a webpage, Facebook, all that sort of stuff.
Twitter.
We can get those links.
Yeah,
you
Artsbridge.
Know, to you guys.
Okay, great. So, great.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking your time out, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday night.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Breakfast Bunch, it's wonderful. Brunch Bunch. Excuse me. Brunch Bunch.
Yes, there we go.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
Well, we just love musical performances. In fact, you and I are big fans of the Opera House located in downtown Lexington.
Love the Opera House.
Right down the street from the Opera House is something else we love, and that's L.V. Harkness.
Yes.
Yes. L.V. Harkness is kicking off a celebration of their 20th anniversary year. They're going to celebrate all over the next year, which I think is fantastic. Everybody should do it that way. But they're having their holiday open house this Thursday, November 7th, and it goes all the way until Saturday, November the 9th. And there's going to be refreshments and a buffet the evening of November 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. And that's what they consider their annual holiday party. But you can get gifts for everybody on your list, both naughty and nice, which I'm like, why would you want to buy somebody naughty something nice?
Well.
But you never
know. Depends on what kind of naughty.
Yeah. And oh, my. And work one-on-one with their talented artists and graphic designers at their design bar. And that's where you can go and whatever you get, like a blanket, a throw, a bag, you can have it personalized, which I think is that extra special touch that really elevates somebody's gift. And then you're going to get some special discounts during this holiday open house. And they always provide complimentary gift wrap, but they're going to jazz it up. It's going to be holiday gift wrap, so it'll be extra frou-frou. But check them out at lbharkness.com and tell them that the Buds sent you.
Yes.
Yep. I love it.
Yep.
All right. Well, now we're switching gears from the Opera House to the House of Politics.
Yes.
Because it is campaign season,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, love it or hate it. I mean, it is part of our American political system, which we should be thankful for because a lot of countries don't have that.
That's right.
And so be thankful for that. So today we're going to have a little bit of a political, non-political conversation.
We got to watch out for Curtis because you said you are a very political person, right?
I honestly don't like the topic in public because I'm very passionate.
I know. So we'll try to tiptoe around you today.
I'll tiptoe around my own career. How about that?
Oh, okay.
If you get out of hand, I'll give you the stare.
Good thing we can cut this up before y'all hear
That's
it.
Right. Yeah. That's right. But if you haven't been watching TV or been on social media, you may not know that there is an election coming up this Tuesday.
If you're dead, you may not know.
Yeah, you may not know. But here are the offices that we will be voting for here in Kentucky. We've got governor, lieutenant governor. We've got attorney general, state auditor, secretary of state, commissioner of agriculture, and treasurer, along with some nonpartisan judicial races here in Kentucky. So, you know, some of those I had to look up because I was like, well, what do they do?
Yeah. Well, and so, Curtis, you're so political. Do you know what when you go to vote, do you know what every single candidate is, what they're about, what their platform is about?
Not all of them, but who I want to vote for, yes.
Okay.
Well, so you don't listen to both sides. No, that's not what
I mean. Okay. I know who I'm going to vote for before I go.
Yes. Like, you do your research.
I don't have to go and
stand
there for an
hour.
Oh, so you
don't do like a partisan vote where you just go all Republican or all Democrat.
I think
you go person by person.
That's not very intelligent to do.
Agree.
In your opinion.
Yeah. Okay. In my opinion.
Okay. Because sometimes I do that.
Well, you should vote for the person who's best suited for the job.
Yeah.
And if that person was Republican, then so be it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I looked up some of these because I was like, well, what does the state auditor do? Or what does the attorney general do? And so you all probably know this, but the attorney general is the chief prosecutor for the state, and he or she is the head law enforcement officer. And then auditor, that person reviews the state accounts, makes sure the books are balanced. So Lee, you probably already knew that.
Yeah, I do. I can't imagine a worse job. Being a former accountant, there's all forms of accounting, and people don't realize that. Like there's all forms of being a doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not that complex, but everybody just assumes if you are a CPA and you have an accounting degree that you can answer every tax question known to man, or you can audit books left and right. Those are very specific specialties within accounting.
Okay.
So auditing was never for me because you have to be a sleuth. You have to go in and look at people's books and just kind of do a test to see if everything looks on the up and up.
Oh, Lord.
And I'll tell you, they're not popular when they come in the company. Oh, and they start to go through your books and they start to question you. You don't like it a whole lot.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah. Then the Secretary of the State, that person oversees all of the business filings in the state. They're in charge of important state papers and the elections. So that's the office that oversees how the elections are handled. Then the Ag Commissioner promotes rural agricultural development. Here in Kentucky, the big issue right now is hemp.
Yeah.
So that's something that you'll see the Ag Commissioner candidates talking about a lot is the hemp. And then we have the treasurer, who is the CFO for the state. But another aspect of that person's job is to get unclaimed property back to taxpayers.
Right.
So I started, and I've heard about this in the past, where they'll say, you know, if you have unclaimed property, go to this website and you could have all this free money waiting for you.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I need to find out if I have any free money.
it's my money. I need it now.
Yeah. So if you go to missingmoney.com, you can type in your name and your city, and it will tell you if you have any unclaimed property. But usually this is like if you had a relative that passed away that left, you know, something for you and they could never find you. Usually that's what it is.
Yeah. I can't imagine having rights to something and not knowing about it.
Yeah.
But I did search and of course I have nothing.
Yeah. But it is good.
I have nothing. You never know.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So try it.
Okay, so here's a question for you guys. I kind of alluded to it earlier in my first question, but do you guys really intentionally watch campaigns and their advertisements and read everything you can, or do you just kind of, when it's available and when it comes up in commercial, you notice it, you see the signs? You know, how much does what's on TV and social media and out in the yards and going door to door and the little pamphlets that come in the mail, how much do you really utilize those tools to formulate your opinion?
I like it when I can see something, and I forget, there's different entities out there that will put something together where it'll be a graph and it will have these questions and then how each person answered on a particular thing. I like that kind of information because okay, this is where they stand on this issue.
Right.
Because the propaganda that you get in the mails, the mailers and stuff like that, well, that, I mean, they're just going to hype, you know, what they think, why they think you should vote for them, which is great.
Yeah.
But I want to know, well, where do you stand on this issue or whatever? And it depends on which office it is, too.
Right.
Of course.
Right. What about you, Curtis?
I read a lot of watch a lot of debates and articles. But
debates are good. I think
the commercial, the commercials
yeah.
kill me. And yeah. it's just after I've seen them once, I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And depending on what side of the aisle you're on, like they'll like use an attack commercial. I'm like, I like that still. Yeah. Right. They'll be like, oh, if you like this and this and this, you're not for us. I'm like, well, I guess right. I'm not for Kentucky or whatever yeah. this ad means. But yeah. I just think that stuff is a little ridiculous.
It's funny yeah. because we have never talked politics with you.
Right.
And like you said, on purpose, because you don't want to do it. Yeah. And you don't either. No. You don't like to talk in, quote, mixed company.
Right.
But I think I could guess your stance. I mean, I think I could guess what party you most subscribe to. I won't say it on air. But off air.
I mean, it's very clear.
Yeah, I think it's very clear.
It's very clear.
It would be crazy if I was wrong.
Yeah, well, I'd
Does
be
it
shocked.
Start with a D?
Because you're yeah. usually right.
yeah. Okay. I don't care. I mean, like I said,
I don't want to put you on the spot.
I don't
we can
care
edit this out.
I'm a Democrat. Yeah. Whatever. That yeah. does not bother me. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I think you should be proud of
well,
who
I
you
think
are
that,
and what you believe.
I think terms like liberal or stuff like that, I think that stuff is insulting.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're all on the same team.
Right.
And like I said, if I thought... My first,
you think like when we start to label people a certain way,
I
because
think that's
of
stupid
party.
Because yeah. you know, the extremes that's like 2% of each side.
Yeah,
I agree.
Most
I
of
agree.
Us kind of can meet
We're
middle on top
right.
of it. The
that's
first
right.
president I ever voted for was George W. Bush
mm-hmm.
Jr.,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and I had a really hard time picking that. But that was I voted Republican the first time I ever voted,
yeah. yeah.
That hasn't been the case going forward yeah. in my life, but you know,
yeah,
it's a mixed bag. Whoever I think is the best, and you know,
yeah,
who was it, Kerry, he was up against that mm-hmm. second time, mm-hmm. or whatever. I just thought that John Kerry was like a robot. At least George Bush had like emotion and
right,
like, you know,
right.
conviction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Not so sure about him now, but
yeah.
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Vote
yeah.
with your
yeah.
heart a little yeah. bit.
Well, and I think it's interesting because you're 34.
33 this week. Where's my
this
birthday
week?
Present?
What?
Wednesday.
How did we miss that?
Your birthday.
Oh, hold on. We knew that. You're getting it Wednesday. Do you work
it's
Wednesday?
It's the same.
It's the same. No, I'm actually off. Wednesday. I'm actually off Wednesday.
It's not, oh, we're so bad.
It's the
my
sixth.
Son's birthday.
Oh, it's the 6th. You mm-hmm. have Tamara's son's birthday.
Yeah.
How could you forget? What
did I forget? Well, I almost yeah. forgot his.
I know. So, it's like that. Thank you, Curtis. Now my son will actually love me.
Oh, now I feel so bad.
Oh, we'll
it's
make
not
it up
my
to
birthday.
You.
It's
we're
not my birthday.
We're making it up to you next
yeah.
weekend.
We'll get him on the flip
yes.
side.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to have Chelsea jump out of a cake for you next week. Well, I noticed that as I've gotten older, my views have changed too. I don't know if you all have noticed that. no, not about me, but about yourselves.
Oh.
As you,
yeah, we tell you getting old.
As you all age, do you notice, like, from what I believed at 18 versus me being 23 now,
oh, sure.
has greatly, y'all didn't even laugh at that.
No.
I'm not 23.
Well, we were giving you
but
the benefit of the doubt
it's
there.
It's changed.
That's still a big change too.
Yeah.
I mean, just what you give a crap about.
Yeah.
Is,
that's
know,
true too.
I mean, yeah. like, for instance, I have a kid now. I didn't really
yes.
give a crap about kids 5 years ago.
Right.
I didn't
Absolutely.
Have one.
Yeah.
But like now, you know, I hear stories yeah. about how they have these lunchroom fees and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that is horrendous.
Yeah.
Like anybody who would embarrass a kid for a school lunch is insane
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
School lunch should be free.
Yeah.
See, we can't get into politics because that's
right.
one of my things.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you know,
my yeah. daughter just said this the other day. She said somebody said that school lunches should be free. And I'm like, Are they like growing out of the ground by themselves and we're like plucking them from the gardens? Because I don't know anything in life to be free. But again, we won't digress.
They're they're children. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
They can't work and can't pay for
shame
it.
A child.
So we should take care of our kids and give them
support. It's called taxes.
Yes.
I pay school taxes every year and I pay extra taxes.
We're not going to fight.
Okay. Let's not go there.
I want to feed your kids too.
Well, by all means, I'll send you a bank account number. You can deposit a check there tomorrow.
$20 a week.
$20.
Okay. We won't digress. Okay. But here's the thing. I think one thing we can agree on, Curtis. Everybody should vote, right?
Everybody should
Everybody
vote.
Everybody should
We're all
vote.
American.
That's right.
We're all on the same team.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we are.
Yeah.
I came across an interesting article by Kentucky 100 that says 4 years ago, during our big election, our presidential election, 3.2 million Kentuckians were eligible to vote in the general election for governor and, of course, all the other good stuff. Only 30% bothered to vote. Less than 1 million people voted. That is sickening to
me. So sad.
It's sad. And yeah. I know there's a lot of excuses for that, but I love what Susan B. Anthony says. She says, someone struggled for your right to vote. Use it.
Yeah.
And that's powerful because mm-hmm. I don't care what sex you are, what ethnicity you are, what nationality, whatever. Well, you know, you're U.S., I guess, if you're
yeah.
going to vote. But here's the thing. Somebody did die for your right, and you should never, ever abuse it. And if you don't do it, that's fine. It's your prerogative not to, but I don't want to hear you complain about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I told my son, because he hasn't registered to vote yet. Yeah. And he's eligible.
With some of these voting things, you have to register early.
You do.
Like for the caucus in March.
Right. Right.
If you want a say in that, like you have to register like probably early. Before now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I did mine in February because we moved from Colorado, but I'm good to go. But maybe now it's too late, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. I think it is. So, everybody get out. Be like Nike and just do it.
Yes.
Oat.
Yep.
All right. Well, one of the reasons that the experts say they don't vote is there's not enough political parties. So they don't see something that aligns with their values or whatever.
It's kind of what Curtis is saying. You know, we make everything so black and white if you're a Republican or a Democrat. And there's a lot of ambiguity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you are of that mindset, we did a little research and discovered some weird political parties around the world. So this is a list of the top 10 weirdest political parties from top10s.net.
Now, we got to talk about these. And when we do, you have to say whether or not you would be a part of this party.
Yeah.
Or if you could see yourself a part of this party.
Okay, this is a good one. The Rhinoceros Party of Canada.
I'll go with yes instantly. I don't care what they're about.
I mean, it's a rhinoceros. It's strong, powerful, large, and in charge. But they
keep none of their promises.
That's their vow, is to keep none of their promises. So at least they're honest. You know?
How's that different from our current?
No, well, because they say it in their vow. They're not going to keep their promises.
There's only one problem with this, why I don't belong. It's Canada. I'm U.S.
Oh, yeah, it's Canadian.
I need to bring that down here.
What about this one? The Guns and Dope Party. This started as a joke in 2003 in
what state? That's like literally all we're fighting for right now is guns and dope. Everything's voting on.
Thank you.
Is pot and guns.
Guns and dope.
That's right.
But it started in California.
Good point, Curtis.
Yep. Yep. The Canadian Extreme Wrestling Party.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
I said it depends.
I'm all about it.
I knew he'd be on it.
I said it depends on how good looking the wrestlers are. I might wrestle with a few of them.
Yeah.
Or as my mother would say, wrassle.
Wrassle.
All my favorite wrestlers are Canadian.
Really?
Chris Jericho, Christian, Edge.
Now,
all my
what about,
ones.
Okay, this is a little sidebar, but Stevie J, which y'all know, y'all love
we know
to
Stevie
talk
J.
about. Yeah. Especially Curtis. I forgot about this. Hulk Hogan is from Lexington. Or no,
what?
Is that Hulk Hogan?
He's not.
Now, what's the one that's from Lexington? Oh, we just talked about this story.
It's not Hulk Hogan.
Ric Flair?
No. He's from
well,
North Carolina.
Well, maybe he's not from here, but he lived here. And he was at the, what's that pool that we had back in the wave pool?
Wave pool, Cente.
Cente. And he would stand in the wave pool. I'm almost positive it's Hulk Hogan, he told me. And he said he would sit there, or maybe it was Macho.
Randy Savage.
Maybe it was Randy Savage.
That sounds
Macho
right.
Man, Randy Savage.
Right.
It was one of those. It was one of those.
Uh-huh.
And he said he would stand in the pool all by himself in the shallow end and be like, rrr, rrr, and do like all
his
the
wrestling moves.
Wrestling moves. And he said he would do it by himself for like hours. And everybody was too scared of him to like go up and approach him and go, what the hell's wrong with you? But he said he did it all the
time. He's a method actor. Macho Man was Macho Man all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I was at Cente. I don't remember that.
I don't either, but Steve said it was like, I guess he would like be out and about and just about town and everything, and everybody's like, hey. And then they said the next day he's like on national TV and he's like world champion or whatever. Wrestler.
Wow. Well, maybe all that
grunting
paid off.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the next one, the Miss Great Britain Party. And I don't know a lot about that one. I think it had like beauty queens in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, here's
about that.
Yeah. Here's a good one. The McGillicuddy Serious Party out of New Zealand.
Oh.
McGillicuddy. With a name like McGillicuddy, how can you be serious?
So we know nothing about the parties. We just know the names.
Yeah. Well, some I wrote down some stuff.
The reason I don't like that one is it sounds way too serious.
Yeah. But it's McGillicuddy. Like,
how
I don't
serious
know.
Can you be?
I don't know.
Name.
The Union of Conscientiously Work Shy Elements.
What?
I mean, that's a mouthful.
This stuff ain't real.
It started as a joke.
Where'd you find this stuff?
But in Denmark.
Creditmonkey.com.
Yeah. It's Denmark.
Superpolitics.win.com.
They actually won an election. The Union of Conscientiously Work Shy Elements.
I just don't even know what a work shy element is.
I'm sure that's like Denmark language. I don't know.
I mean, it's English.
What about this one? The official Monster Raving Loony Party.
Well, I'm already a member of that one.
That's out of England.
Okay.
This one I love. The Surprise Party. It started in 1940 when Gracie Allen ran for president as part of a media stunt. She was the wife of George Burns, the comedian. And she had a live kangaroo as the official party symbol.
Okay,
I mean,
first of all,
it's fun.
It is very fun. But I have to ask Curtis, do you know who George Burns is?
No. I feel like that I know the name, that I've heard that, but I don't know.
He lived to like he was, what, 102 or 101?
Always smoked a cigar, was in the movies.
I mean, he was so famous.
He played God in all the movies.
Maybe if I saw it.
Oh, you would.
Well, I mean, it's definitely before your time.
Oh, it's way before your time.
What was that show called? Was it just called God?
The movies?
Yeah.
There was more than one.
He was the perfect God.
Yeah.
He was the perfect God.
I forget the name. All right. He's going to look that up.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Moving right along, we've got the Youth International Party. This was in the United States in the 60s and 70s, and they actually ran a pig for president in 1968.
But here's what's ironic about that. I know several pigs that have ran for office.
We currently have one. See, we get too far into it.
Yeah, that's all you could say there.
This was back in the 60s and 70s.
We don't want hate mail.
You wrote it down.
How about the Polish? This is good. The Polish Beer Lovers Party. Now, this began as a joke to fight alcoholism by promoting drinking beer instead of vodka.
Yeah, because only alcoholics drink vodka.
If you chug a whole bottle of vodka, you're going to be way more calm than a six-pack of beer.
That's true. So those are just some fun ones. You know, I mean, maybe one of those really spoke to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a member of the Polish Beer Lovers Party because you want to fight alcoholism by not drinking vodka, I recommend that you don't visit Wilderness Trail Distillery in Danville.
Yes, that's right.
Because in addition to their weeded, bottled, and bond single-barrel straight Kentucky bourbon, cast-strength rye whiskey, and small-batch bottled and bond bourbon with a small grain rye.
I did not get it. You almost did it.
They also sell Blue Heron vodka, which is absolutely delicious. You and I had it in the world's best Bloody Mary
that we had at the barbecue festival
about a month ago. But that's not all. They also have a Harvest Rum that continues to be a big hit. We love their facility. They were recently featured by USA Today, and they're going to move from the craft distillery tour to the Bourbon Trail pretty soon. And Tamara, I have to think we have a lot to do with that.
I'm sure that we do.
I mean, we've been talking about them now for a year and a half. And look, they've blown up.
You're welcome, Wilderness Trail Distillery.
You're welcome. And we thank you because you're one of our best sponsors ever.
Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're always on our list.
Yeah, always. They've always been on our list. Actually, those guys are phenomenal, and girls, because we love Emily too.
Yes.
So check them out at wildernesstraildistillery.com. Now, I hope you can get through this next segment.
I'll be very quiet.
We want your mild. You're going to practice. You're going to practice having a political, non-political discussion.
I'm good.
Okay. I can see it in your eyes.
I got this.
I'm very proud of you right now. I'm very proud because I'm very proud of people who stand up for their rights and what they believe in. I am all about that. And I think you've done it in a very good way so far. So far.
Until this next topic.
We're going to talk who's coming to town.
It's not Santa, even though the radio stations are now playing full-time Santa Claus music.
Including our station, which we'll talk about later. We'll talk about that next week.
Grumble.
Donald Trump is coming to Rupp Arena at 7 o'clock Monday, which today is Sunday. We recorded day before. So Monday night, he's going to be there. And really, he's there. I mean, he's there for several reasons, but primarily to help support Governor Bevins in our upcoming election. A few months ago, President Trump agreed to support Bevins at that time. He was nationally ranked, Bevins, as the least popular governor in the U.S. But now that title belongs to Governor Gina, how do you say her name? Raimondo.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic leader of Rhode Island. I don't know what she did. Do y'all know what she did?
It must have been pretty bad.
I don't know. I've never heard of her. Yeah. And this is President Trump's second visit to Kentucky in 3 months. During his last visit on August 21st, he went to Louisville and visited. He addressed the AMVETS, an American Veterans Organization, at its 75th annual national convention held at the Galt House there in Louisville. And so just in a sentence or two or three, what do you think about not Trump, the president himself coming to Rupp Arena?
Well, I think it's always a good thing if you have the president of the United States coming to your hometown.
Okay.
Because it puts your hometown in the national spotlight for however long that he's here. And then, of course, all the people that come with him. And so it's great exposure for our city.
Okay.
And hopefully everyone will keep it classy.
Yeah.
You know.
Where are you going to be tomorrow night?
Well, I know that my girlfriend's mom works downtown. They literally gave them the day off of work.
There's a lot.
It's going to be so crazy down here, which I don't like that I guess.
Right.
Like a city business. Should not come to a screeching halt for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
there's been complaints about the location, why it was chosen to, why they didn't do it on the outskirts of town where it wouldn't affect traffic so bad. But I don't know where
wherever
that place would be.
I mean, it's going to be shut down for blocks. Yeah. I mean, that's, and there's so many businesses here that.
So what do you think about a president coming to Lexington?
I think a president should go everywhere.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's a good thing.
Okay. Good.
Maybe not what he's talking about, but I like
you don't,
him paying attention to every place is a good thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah, well said. Well said. Right. And we talked about the traffic concerns. So I think it's going to be interesting. I went online, just curious, because you have to purchase tickets. And
They're free.
Well, I was going to say, you have to reserve tickets. I guess you should put your name in because they probably do a background check on you to verify you're
not. No, they don't do that.
I don't think.
There's too many people.
Because people
there.
Are camped out.
I've been to a thing like this before. Okay. They don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they have you on file in the event something goes wrong. Have a list of everybody who's there. Maybe it's more like that.
Yeah.
See, I just assume anytime you go anywhere, the president. You know, I'm not going to be there for a lot of reasons, but mostly, I mean, I think it would be cool to one day see a president in person.
Yeah, I've never.
But I always wonder in the back of my mind, security would be a concern for
me.
Like, especially when you have a president that is very
controversial.
Controversial is the right word. Yeah.
So,
do you all worry about that at all?
I think that's always a concern in this day and age because people, you know, with the media now and social media, it's like if you don't agree with someone's stance on something, well, then that person is your mortal enemy and you have to wage, you know, war on this person because they don't agree with you. So, yeah, anybody could do anything. So, yes, security is definitely a concern.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything you would like to say about that, Curtis?
Nope.
we love you.
Have you ever seen a president in person?
Yeah. Have you?
Potentially.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I went and saw Bernie Sanders in Colorado.
Okay.
And I met his wife and got a picture with her.
Really?
Because I have his tattoo on my arm.
Okay.
What? I don't know if y'all know this about me. But
is of his face or what? Oh, my God. We've got to take a picture of this.
It's so, like the top.
Now that could really be anybody.
It's the top of his head.
It's not like a detailed picture.
Okay,
so the story behind this was in Vermont, they were giving out for free at tattoo shops. I wasn't in Vermont, I was in Colorado, but my buddy who lived there was from Vermont, and he owned a tattoo place and gave it to me for free. So,
what, just that particular one?
That one particular, yeah. Because
how many tattoos you have? I didn't know you had all
three.
These.
Three. They're all up here.
What
in my
all
arm.
Do you have?
Something from a video game and something from a wrestler and Bernie Sanders' face.
And Bernie Sanders' top
it's
of his
all
head.
Random, yeah.
I just picture, you know, one day, well, they won't find you in your, unless they preserve, they find a way to preserve our bodies with our skin still on it.
Uh-huh.
And one day we're like little mummies and they open you up and they're like, ooh, I wonder who this guy is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, it's okay. I like it.
But did you get it because you like Bernie Sanders or because it was just a free tattoo?
Both.
Okay. No, if it was President Trump for free, would you do it?
No, absolutely
not.
So, I'm very, very on board with Bernie Sanders.
He's about free stuff, too. So you all should get along pretty good. He's about free college for everybody.
Yes, he is.
Nobody has to pay for that.
Nobody.
Everybody's going to go for free.
Yeah, it's magical.
Magical.
I'm teasing you.
I'll tell you what else
I know. She's trying to get me. Yeah, but I'm not going to let her.
I'll tell you what else is magical.
What?
The barbecue at Shack in the Back Barbecue.
Tell us about it, girl. Tell us about it.
Located in Fairdale, Kentucky. You know, if President Trump asked me where...
I thought she said chump.
No. If he asked me where to go for a bite to eat outside of Lexington, I would say, you need to try this barbecue because it is amazing. The slow-cooked brisket, the yummy burgoo, potato salad, their White Lightning barbecue sauce. I mean, it is top-notch stuff. And he ain't getting that in the White House.
He usually orders in Wendy's.
Yeah. Well, but, they could, like, drive through. They have a drive-through. So they could, Secret Service, they could just drive up, get this goods,
there you go.
Keep going.
If you're listening, Secret Service, take
it's
Donald
a hot
Trump.
Tip.
Yes, hot tip.
And for everybody else, just go and try them. You don't have to have a reservation or anything like that. You just show up. ShackInTheBackBarbecue.com.
No. Now, I'm going to ask one real quick question before we get to one of my favorite segments of the show.
Whoop.
And do you have a guess what political parties that Tamara and I usually subscribe to? If you had to guess. What would you guess?
Do you want me to guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Out loud?
Yeah.
Both Republican?
Yeah, okay. Very good. Yeah.
Oh, I knew that.
Did you?
A long time ago.
But again, we're very moderate. We're very moderate.
I think, like
we flip
said,
we flip issues.
I think that most people are very moderate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm very moderate, you know, because I support gun rights and a bunch of stuff, but like we all need to be reasonable and people aren't reasonable.
Right.
People can't talk about things anymore, which is a really bad thing.
And
you
don't like that. And I love that we're having this conversation because I think that people blanket what your stances on everything once you give your party. That's not true.
Right.
Because we're liberal in some aspects. I should say liberal. We're more a democratic in some stances. Socially, I'm pretty liberal.
I mean, I'm from Kentucky, so it's hard for me to like brush away most of my life's views just because I grew up a little bit or whatever. Yeah. But like everybody should be kind of moderate.
Yeah. And don't you agree that when you live in different places, like living in Colorado, I lived in Atlanta, it influences you. Yeah,
going or traveling or meeting anybody changes your whole life forever.
Absolutely.
Because if you stay in a little small town forever, I'm not saying you're stupid. It's just like you can't understand what anybody else thinks.
Right.
You know? So, I mean,
I think that's true of everybody. And even if you have been in a small city all your life, you cannot know somebody's circumstances until you walk in their shoes.
Right.
And that could be anything from poverty to deaths in your family to tragedies to molestation. I mean, there's so many things that can impact who you are as a person.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good to be able to talk.
I'm very impressed with how we handled
ourselves.
Yes, we're
so adult.
Our very first political, non-political conversation went super good.
Well done.
It was
well
on the
done.
Air, so it had to go super
well
good.
Well done.
Yeah.
And honestly, I like having different thoughts and points of view.
That's what makes the world go round.
It's the USA, people. All right. Are we ready?
Yep.
All right.
5 minutes with Cutie Patootie. 5 minutes with Cutie Patootie.
I feel like
haven't lost a step.
Well, I feel like we need to blow the harmonica first because we started
off on
different.
It's a harmonica. It's what's it called? It's not a harmonica.
It's not?
There's like a
tuning pipe.
Is that what it's called? No.
Okay.
Tuning pipe. It's like a little whistle that has like a C or A. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, if Curtis Streetman was still here, he could.
Yeah.
He would have done 5 minutes with Cutie.
We should have had him do it.
Yeah, we should have.
Dang,
give him a call. Get him on the horn.
Okay, so we're going to have another round of verses today because we haven't done that in a long time.
We've
been like a quiz.
Bible verses?
No,
okay.
Because it's 4-4 with our little game, but we haven't done it in a while.
I thought it was 5-5.
Either way, it's tied.
All right.
So get your little pen out.
Okay.
And this is kind of off topic, but that's okay. In a week or so, Disney Plus comes out. Have y'all heard of this at all?
No.
Well, Disney Plus is literally everything that's ever been made movie-wise, show-wise, everything, eating all the Marvel stuff and everything. But what I'm going to do today is very basic, your all's age range of Disney movies.
You old people.
No, that's not what I mean. Just like stuff that I know that you know about.
Yes, okay.
And just basic Disney movie questions that most people should know. So
how many questions?
So the 8 points could be here total, but some of them are two points. So just start at one right there.
All right. Oh, okay.
So one, very easy. Okay. Snow White and the Blank Dwarves.
So far, I'm liking what I
see. Yeah, I love
Chamber's
this.
Chamber's not very good with numbers either. So.
Yeah. Snow White and the Blank Dwarves, number one. Yeah. Number two, which Disney cartoon is set in New Orleans? And that's one of the last ones that they actually drew. That was before all the animated stuff. But there's only one.
Okay.
Which Disney cartoon is set in New Orleans? Eesh. Number three, in The Little Mermaid, who is Ariel's father?
Eesh.
What's his name? He's a mythical figure and other stuff too. So,
who is
Ariel's father?
Okay.
And this is whoever gets the closest wins this. So you don't have to get exactly right, but whoever gets the
I like these kinds.
Yeah, well, at least somebody gets a point. So that's a point. What year did Mickey Mouse debut? Now you can put I have an exact date, so you can write a month, day, and year, and whoever's closest will win.
Month, date, and year.
Yeah,
did Mickey Mouse debut?
Okay. Ooh.
And it was on Steamboat Willie. If that helps you out.
Yeah, I do.
That's
and
his first cartoon.
Taylor did a project on this.
Yeah.
And I should know this.
Next question: in Mulan, the dragon's sidekick has a famous actor's voice. Who is the actor, and what's the character's name? That's worth 2 points.
I never saw that, but I'll guess.
Mulan has the little red dragon.
Okay, hold on.
What's his name and the character name? And who is the actor that plays him? A very, very famous person.
Okay.
A comedian, if it helps you out.
Well, then I'm putting my first answer.
Right.
Scratch it out. Now you.
Moving along. Okay. Who is Simba's father? Simba in The Lion King. Who is his daddy?
the big one.
Yeah.
The older Simba.
They say it a million, zillion, trillion times. Oh. Who is Simba's father?
I have no idea.
I believe in you. I know, yes, you do.
No, I really don't. My kid's 18. I haven't watched
the Disney movie. Yeah, we didn't watch The Lion King. That was after.
Start with the M, but last question.
What is
the Hunchback of Notre Dame's name?
Oh.
His name is not the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, we know that.
So what is his name?
Yeah.
All right.
Do we know that?
Yeah.
But I think this was a good one.
I
this
remember
is right
that
in the
one.
Middle. Okay. So Snow White and the what dwarves?
Seven.
All right. Yeah, we got that one. It's starting out slow. What cartoon was set in New Orleans?
The Rescuers.
No.
I have no idea.
It was two.
The Princess and the Frog.
I don't even know.
I think the Rescuers were two because it had an alligator and a mouse.
Yeah, because alligators don't live in Florida.
I'm gonna challenge that.
But you said it was the last one.
Okay, Princess and the Frog.
If we're down to a tiebreaker, we'll look
it up.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, we'll
all
look
right,
it up.
All right,
okay.
So, but it's Princess and the Frog is the answer I have.
All right.
Who is Ariel's father?
Thor. I have no idea.
Thor.
Poseidon.
King Triton
was
her father. Okay. He's really ripped. You should remember that.
I remember.
He's shredded.
Well, at least one of us have a chance to get a point here. Because
all right, yeah, exactly. So when did Mickey Mouse debut?
1915.
You said 15?
Yeah.
You said 29?
It's
19? November 18th, 1928.
Oh,
Tamara got it.
So
Tamara got it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's awesome.
On Steamboat Willie, like all I said before.
I remember that.
So this is worth 2 points, too. In Mulan, who is the dragon's sidekick? What's his name, actor-wise and character-wise?
I think it's Eddie Murphy, but yeah. I don't know the name.
You're so good.
Robin
Williams, just because I don't know.
He's the genie.
Okay, I figured it was something like
that. Is it Eddie Murphy?
It's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You don't know the other name?
Mm-mm.
It's Mushu.
Yeah,
I've never seen the
movie.
That's
yeah.
literally one of the best Disney movies there is. It's so good. Who is Simba's father? I cannot believe
Is it
Mufasa?
Mufasa.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
When you said
Mufasa.
M.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, at least we got you scoot in the right direction.
Okay. I have a feeling we're going to have a tie.
And the last one, who is the Hunchback of Notre Dame? What's
Quasimodo.
His name?
Oh, I said Igor.
Igor. That's so rude.
Okay.
It's not
just because Igor's ugly, too.
Okay, so I think we both got three, which means you're going to have to look up this answer of Tamara's.
Or two.
You got three, I thought.
She got the date, too, didn't she?
She got the date, Mufasa, and
Murphy. But the
Rescuers. You got four. You got four then, right? Now, hold on. You got seven.
One. This is questionable.
One, two.
You got
four, five,
and six. So she won.
Okay.
She won outright.
So 6-5.
Yes.
Congratulations, Tamara. You're close to the prize.
Congratulations, Tamara.
You're such a
good
sport.
Was right in the middle. Y'all both didn't know that equally.
Yeah,
so.
We're both ignorant.
Well,
when
and
it comes to...
technically, I was wrong on the Mickey Mouse. I said 29.
When you said, like,
and you said
comics and stuff, I was going to hope you're going to get into that a little bit because I think I'd have Tamara beat there.
Comics.
Oh, yeah. She's much more into the
hint,
comics.
Hint for next year.
Okay.
Or next week.
For next year. It's getting close to next year.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's true.
Awesome.
All right.
That was fun. Good job.
Well, that was very fun, Cutie Patootie. I'm very proud of you. I've missed you so. Now, let's talk about the next fun thing. Are we ready for this?
Yeah. It's time for our
Hot Buds of the week.
Ha-da!
Woo!
Boom.
We did your boom last week.
I know. I heard you.
Did you?
And you also said I didn't listen to the show, which is insulting. Because I said there had to listen to the whole thing because somebody recorded it at a max volume.
It was terrible last week because we had a cord missing that we had to track down for, like... There was no equipment in here.
It was
just bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Job security. Little do you know, I hid all the headphones and took all the cords.
Yes. Huh. Interesting.
Okay. Well, our first hot bud goes out to Kathy Snyder. Now, this is a Facebook and Instagram account. We love Kathy Snyder. Please follow her. So we had the Bacon Jam that we talked about earlier this week, 2019 festival yesterday at 4th Street Live.
Yeah.
Which
Louisville.
It was amazing. Do you ever go to 4th Street Live?
I've been.
I love that place. There's just every time we go, there's something new to see.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we had a little contest. She won. And here's what she wrote back. She wrote back to us today. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't see this.
She said, thank you so much for the tickets. My husband went and enjoyed it. Never been to that part of Louisville, and he said there were some restaurants that he would like to try. Great. And that's what makes us happy, guys.
Yeah.
This is all about doing something you've never done in Kentucky and then realizing there's a lot more to it, and it makes you want to go back. So
Absolutely.
That's what we're all about. Thank you, Kathy. We love you.
And we're free for dinner next.
Yeah. We'll meet you up there. That's right.
That's right. Okay, next up is Lisa in Lexington at L. Bowman 4. And so Lisa was super sweet. I had to give a speech in public because I'm helping someone run for office right now.
You can say who. We're proud of John. Okay. This is not, on the radio. We can talk about John.
Okay, so this is my friend John Reynolds. He's circuit court judge right now.
We did an interview with him.
We did. He's been on our podcast before. And he was going to go, and he and his opponent were going to speak at the Lexington Apartment Association meeting. And so he texted me the night before, and he's like, yeah, I'm in this murder trial and I can't make it. So I need for you to stand up and, you know, say something. I'm like, what? Because public speaking is definitely, I mean, it's one of everyone's greatest fears, right? And I knew his opponent was going to be there. And so I had to get up and give a speech. And while I was, before we got to that part of it, I'm at this meeting and I didn't know anybody. And this girl comes up to me and she goes, you're a taste bud. And I was like,
love this.
I am a taste bud. And her name was Lisa, and she was super, super sweet and made me feel so much better. And so I got through the speech, and it was just nice to be able to look out and see a friendly face while I was up there shaking like a leaf. I mean, everybody thought there was like an earthquake going on because I was shaking so bad.
Not true.
But anyway, she said, it was great to meet you last week at the Greater LAA, which is the Apartment Association meeting. Hope to bump into you again soon. And Lisa, you are our new BFF. And yes, we hope to run into you soon.
And I'm going to say, so Tamara, the speech had been recorded. I was blown away with how great of a job. I have to brag on you because you called me beforehand. You said, please play your say a prayer for me.
Oh,
because
so
John and Holly are an important. I mean, they're your BFFs,
yes.
And so you wanted to do right by him.
Yeah,
and you killed it. You killed it. And you said you were nervous, but girl, you were so endearing, so charming, like you always are. I was very, very proud of you. From now on, any public speaking that we have to do, you're nominated.
Oh, great.
Yes. Yes.
I can't wait.
Okay. And then last but not least, Big Blue Santa UK at Big Blue Santa at UK, which has been a hot day. He's been, or she has been a hot day before.
Oh, that's
but
funny.
They said, thanks for the heads up on Shack in the Back Barbecue in Fairdale. Mrs. Claus and I will be returning to Pig Out, no pun intended, soon.
Oh, so they went.
Got it.
So this is 2 weeks in a row. We've had two hot buds that have gone to
our
Shack in the Back. And so, again, guys, we love you. And that's going to make you a double hot bud when you listen to us and actually do what we say.
Tell the waiter the hot buds sent you.
That's right. The hot buds sent you.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, that's it for this week's episode. To check out some of the things we talked about in today's show, visit our website at kytastebuds.com. You can read our articles on food, fashion, events, and people. And follow us to keep up with our daily whereabouts on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat at the handle kytastebuds. And last but not least, we also send out that amazing weekly e-newsletter that Lee does. To subscribe to that, visit our website, kytastebuds.com, and click the subscribe button at the top of the page. And remember to listen to us every Saturday morning from 10 to 2 on KISS 96.9, especially if you love Christmas music, because that's all they're playing now.
We love you guys.
All right. Have a great week.
We love you.
Have a great day.